I'd like you to, for a second, think about the people in the world that matter the most to you. Think of your best friends. Think of a really funny story of a time that you two had together. It was just you. Something that always brings a smile to your face. Think of one of your best days together. Now what I want you to do is think of your partner. Someone that you love deeply. Or someone that you did. Someone that you connected with. Someone that brought you joy and butterflies to your stomach. Think about that person. Think about the person that and the way they made you feel. Now I want you to think of a pet or an animal or something that you love. Think of how they always come up to you and how they're always joyful to see you. If you lost them, think of how much they meant to you. Think how sad you were that day when they passed. Think of all the memories you've made with all these people. Now, what I want you to do is think of what your life would have been like if you only had seen them as a one-time interaction. Think if in those moments you just thought, I'm not trying to add a demand of a new friend right now. I'm not trying to widen up my life. I'm not trying to meet somebody new. I'm just trying to get through this moment. So with that, welcome to today's podcast. This is the Inclusive Activism Podcast, and today what we're going to be talking about is the difference between interactional thinking and relational thinking. So the purpose of the podcast specifically is to help us learn more, a little bit more in the spaces of diversity and inclusion, but then also how these ideas and these concepts can help us become better people, how we can learn and grow and finally be the people we'd like to become ultimately, right? So this is a space for us to take a deep dive into topics that are of concern to the community, of concern to us, and help us become better and our best people. We're engaging in the work of being actively anti-ist. And so with that, I wanted to start with first something a little bit new and talk about my own proof of activism in the last week. So within the last week, I was at the Desperado Film Festival setting up for an outdoor shorts series. Desperado is the LGBT film festival that happens at Paradise Valley Community College. And so I was there, making sure the screen was set up, making sure that we could see everything, making sure that the attendees were going to have a great time. It's an awesome cause. It goes to the Rainbow Scholarship to help LGBT members or allies get scholarships to help them pay for school. On Friday morning, I facilitated a small group discussion about the documentary of the film Real Boy for the Diversity Leadership Alliance. And the idea there was we're trying to look at transness. What is it like to be in transness? What is it like to understand transness? Or what is it like for families to experience the transition from a loved one from one gender to another? The person, Ben, that was transitioning in the movie was transitioning from female to male. This was an opportunity for us to see things through lenses that we're not used to seeing them through. The fact that we can look at this film and realize that gender is not on a binary, that it's on a continuum, and that it manifests in many different ways, that gender, that orientationism, who you like, all these things specifically are not binary, they manifest in many different ways. And how can we take that thinking of continuumness or the importance of being an ally, many different things. So I got to be part of that, which was really fantastic, and I love being part of the Diversity Leadership Alliance. On Thursday, I was part of the kickoff for Just Communities in Mesa, Arizona. Some close friends, Dr. Whitaker, who you should have heard by now on the podcast, as well as a hopeful potential interviewee on the podcast, Rory Gilbert, were part of that, and I got to be part of something new starting, trying to find a way to bring disparate people who care about their communities, who are willing to reach past the problematics of difference, to come together and create something new. I got to be part of that, and although that was a heck of a drive, it was a really neat opportunity, and I really got to meet some really great people there, and I'm part of the ground floor of something that's going to be happening there. I also got to meet with my director and potentially someone that's going to be helping with my media marketing in a way so I can kind of move and reach past the small audience who may or may not be listening at this point now, because I'm still recording in a space where we haven't released. We're shooting for about mid-February, and so as soon as I get past the problematics of compressing this video and uploading and also subscribing to iTunes as well as the Android subscribing things, I'm looking forward to having the Inclusive Actives and podcast up and live. Additionally with that, I also wanted to talk to you a little bit about some self-care that I did this last week. Self-care has been so incredibly important for me trying to keep my head on straight. The last few days, it's something that I want to own and talk about with y'all to see, A, how's my self-care going, and B, what kind of self-care are y'all doing? So again, please call me. Let me know how that stuff's going. I will enjoy being in a relationship with you all much more than you will enjoy just the interaction of speaking with me. So for self-care last week, I've been able to lift 5 times a week. I'm able to do that pretty regularly, but that resistance, that pushing against something, is something that I really deeply need. I also play flag football with friends, which is just fantastic. We get out there, we play around, we have a good time. There's something in rowdy that just needs to push against somebody and kind of hit a little bit, and hit in a friendly way. I'm not trying to hit someone to hurt someone. It's the struggle of competition that I'm looking forward to in that space, but it definitely helps a lot. Another thing I've been working on too is trying to get cardio done, and I think I did cardio for about 4 times last week. At a minimum, I think I did it of 12 minutes, and at a maximum, I think I did 2 of 30 minutes, but that's really fantastic. I recommend interval training where you're going a little bit harder and then slowing down a little bit. So you push for about 2 minutes, you go easy for about 2 minutes. It's really good for building up your VO2 max, which helps you breathe deeper, which builds your cardiovascular output rate at quite a bit higher. And so it's something that I need to do. I'm 41. I will be 42. I will probably be 42 by the time you're hearing this. So future me is hoping I'm continuing with that cardio. Another thing that I've been really proud of last week is that I've been doing meditation. In the last week, I did 5 times of at least 20 minutes of meditation. And that is something that is really challenging for me. Being in a space where I'm slowing down and becoming mindful and being aware of the opportunity of what's in front of me is something that I'm really trying to get a lot better at. So meditation is important. And in addition to that, I wanted to tell you about my personal favorite podcast that I heard last week. So this particular podcast that I'm recommending was entitled The Darkness of the Womb: 4 Key Steps in Transforming Suffering. And it's from Tara Brach. She is a Buddhist meditator, philosopher. She helps people kind of understand stuff and in different ways. And I'm really trying to adopt some Buddhist thinking. Buddhists think in a different way than most of the rest of us do. They're more long-term thinkers. They try to think about how in ways in which we can limit our own suffering. And that's something I'm trying to adopt myself. What she said we're trying to do in this particular podcast that was released on January 25th, 2017. And again, you're looking up Tara Brach, Tara Brach. The point of the podcast is that we can either choose to repeat old fear-based patterns, or our suffering can awaken us to a deeper wisdom and a greater love. This talk explores the 4 principles in relating to difficulty that move us towards healing and freedom, both personally as well as in society. The reason that I really loved that podcast is because I got a fantastic takeaway from it, and this came from Tara herself, and specifically that was, she said, if you get into an argument with reality, reality is always going to win. I really just love that, because in a week where everyone was talking about alternative facts, It helped remind me of the fact that reality is always the thing that has most value. I work in an academic setting, and so the idea that people don't use Wikipedia is kind of funny to me, because there's only value in Wikipedia if it's correct. If Wikipedia is wrong or is used to promote falsehood or false fact, it doesn't have value anymore. The reason that people need go to it and use it is because it is as accurate as the Encyclopedia Britannica. So, just a little something to think about, that if you get in an argument with reality, reality, in the end, will always win. So moving on a little bit to the opportunity of the idea of interactional thinking versus relational thinking. So first off, I'm going to be fairly obvious. I am deeply a fan of relational thinking. If possible, I'd love to be in a space where I'm always thinking about or creating a space of relationship. Interactional thinking, in my opinion, is kind of the way we already are trained to sleepwalk through the world. And I'm gonna be honest with you, I am not a saint in this regard, like far from it. I get incredibly interactional at the grocery store, at Costco. It can happen to me when people are asking me about my name and I get really impatient because like that's the, you know, 14th person trying to ask me about my name. But like, who am I to get so impatient? Think about this person that's trying to reach out to me in this moment. They're trying to reach out and they're trying to connect. When someone asks where you're from or what your name is, they're trying to reach out to you and trying to find a way to connect to you. And they want to know me a little bit more than they currently do. They're trying to reach out to me and they're trying to bond to me. And me, in my horrible interactional thinking in that moment, I'm rebuffing that small attempt at intimacy in favor of a little bit faster of an interaction. I mean, that's really sick when you think about it. Someone's reaching out and trying to connect with me, and I'm like, I'm just trying to buy, you know, my Ziploc bags. Like my Ziploc bags matter, you know? And there's someone at the Fry's grocery store that I always love meeting and interacting with, because he always calls me, "Hey, professor," and it's funny because I'm not a professor at all, but he remembers me from working at Paradise Valley Community College, and he's just excellent at being with and creating a relationship with me. And he's woken me up to being in relationship to him. And it's funny, here I am talking to you about being in relationship to others. But it's sick, and it's rude, and it's not who I want to be. Who and how I do want to be is more relational. I want to be in the moment, and I want to be mindful to that. I need to be present to the opportunity of the world that's happening around me. So the first idea that I'm really looking to communicate is, who the hell am I to make myself small? And who am I to make others small around me? You know, when I forego the opportunity of the people around me, I choose to make myself small. And I did this at Just Communities just last week. I was at Just Communities and we were asked to do only a 1 minute introduction. Those introductions, all needless to say, went way more than 1 minute. And I told myself the story of, I'm gonna tell a quicker introduction because I'm trying to make sure my friends get what they need to have done. But in that, I also kind of shrank from things. In one way, it was great because in me telling a shortened introduction of who I am, I had other people who love me so much. Dr. Whitaker and Rory both speak up on my behalf and talk about the wonderful person that they know me to be and didn't let me play small. But I also shrunk from the opportunity of me having an opportunity to tell all these people that care about making the world a better place who I am. And that was just no good and not who I need to be. And so I shrank in that moment. So with this, I kind of wanted to read a quote I got from Marianne Williamson. I'm sure a lot of you have heard it, but it came from A Return to Love, Reflections on the Principles of A Course in Miracles. So I'm sure we've heard this first part. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that frightens us. So we must ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, Who are you not to be? You are a child of God, and your playing small does not serve the world. You are meant to shine, just as children do. We are born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. And it's not in just some of us, it's in everyone. So as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people the permission to do the same. And as we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. Oh, that is so beautiful. Marianne Williamson, again, and it's from A Return to Love, Reflections on Principles of A Course in Miracles, specifically. So again, I cannot play small in a world that desperately needs me. I'm going to tell another quick story from another podcast that I listened to. And they were talking about Clark Kent and Clark Kent versus Superman, right? So Clark Kent plays small to fit in with those around him. So when Superman's being Clark Kent, he's trying to fit in with those who want him to be, who need him to be less than who he truly is. And he shrinks himself and plays himself in a painfully small and limited role by lowering himself to fit in with those around him, rather than choosing to always stick out and shine and be all who he is. So he limits himself in order to be accepted by the smaller people around him. He shrinks himself, and think of how painful that got to be, to shrink oneself in walking when one has the ability to fly. That notion of making oneself small to fit in for others, that came to me from Reverend Michael Waldron Jr. He preaches at First Corinthian Baptist Church in New York City. I believe that's in Harlem. And if there was one church I wish I got to attend on a regular basis, well, there's two. There's Sojourn Grace Collective, which is located in San Diego, California, and there's First Corinthian Baptist Church in New York City. Both of them are open and affirming churches and really practice liberation theology and help people to kind of become the people that they're hoping to be. So kind of back to this interactional relational thinking, this choosing to be small, it also limits the opportunity of those choosing to try to connect with you, and that you limit their ability to connect with you. And ultimately, let's be real, they're trying to help you. You know, to be in relationship with someone is to try to enter into a win-win agreement with them. They might want to join with you and become part of your dynamic we. So who are we to stop them in our interactional thinking? We got to flip the switch. We got to move. We have to evolve from interactional to relational thinking. The second reason I think we have to move to relational versus we move from relational to relational thinking is that it creates a win-lose type of thinking. If you're thinking from win-lose paradigms, you are choosing to win a lot less than you could. And think about that for a second. You're choosing to win less than you could. You're intentionally choosing to win less than you possibly could. That's interesting. Because if you live a life filled with interaction, you are only really trying to get yours. And you're not trying to be or be concerned with or recognize others. And think of how often you hear that. I'm just trying to get mine. I'm just trying to get. Think of how often you hear that. I hear that all the time at work, in community college. I'm just trying to get my classes and I'm trying to get out of here. I don't want anything else. So you're telling me you don't want anything extra? You don't want more than what you're getting? That would be like refusing free dessert on your birthday. It doesn't make sense. And also, this win-lose paradigm of interactional thinking, I think, has led to create a hookup culture. And you act like this is the thing you want, right? Like you act like the hookup is something that you want. When you tell yourself the lie of that you don't want something bigger and better than this, there's a reason why you're choosing a hookup versus choosing to be in deep relationship. There's a huge difference between those two things. And it's funny though, when you act like you like the hookup, you also act like you've never been on the other end of a text when you're like, hey, what's up? And they have something better going on. They're with someone better than you. They're doing something better than being with you. But that's the interaction of a hookup versus the relationship of something that's deep and really matters. That hookup, it gets you the late night text with the person you want to get with, but not the person you want to be with. And that person you get with, it keeps you from the person that you need to become in order to be the person that is deserving of the person you would hope to be with always. So let me run that by you real quick, because I'm sure that was really hard to understand. So by focusing and spending time with the person you hope to get with, but not on the person you want to be with, it keeps you from the person you need to become in order to be the person that deserves to be with the person you hope to stay with. Let that sink in for a moment. Someone once asked me, how do I talk to girls? And I told them, like, honestly, I have no idea. I have no idea how to talk to girls. The only thing that I learned over time was that you need to work on becoming the person that you need to be. So when you finally meet the someone you're always supposed to be with, they can't help but notice who you and who you are and would never turn down the opportunity to be with you. Being single and working on you is probably the best thing you can do, because you're actually doing the work. You're doing that deep character building that's necessary to be someone that someone would want to stay with, to be in relationship with. And you can't lose being in relationship. It has to be win-win inherently. When you are in relationship with someone, it always must be give and take. It must be win-win. It has to be something that is sustainable, that can last. If you're thinking interaction, you're just trying to think win-lose, because it is going to cost someone at some point. A hookup always costs someone at some point. That's why hookups end. You know, they know 30-year hookup relationships, right? Because it ain't a hookup anymore, it's a relationship at that point. It changes, and it must, because if it didn't, it becomes win-win, or it becomes win-lose and stops. And that's the thing that usually happens. It becomes win-lose, and then that thing stops. And you are limited from being with the person that you truly deserve, because you're just trying to think about this interaction with this purpose in this moment. You're also devaluing yourself. You're saying, I'm only worth this thing with this person in this way. A person that you think is obviously less than, because if they weren't more than, you would be more than willing to be in relationship with them. Right? That interactional versus relational thinking, again, it's getting you, right? Lastly, it is petty, and it is below you and I. Interactional thinking is selfish. It is lonely. It is you playing small. Or it is you acting like you're better than the rest of us. This is the penultimate piece of thinking that eventually leads to a limited, lonely life of me is greater than we thinking. And we know at the Inclusive Activism Podcast, that's not how we do things. You want things to be all about you. But man, it ain't about you. And face it, if we were all gone and it was just about you, it wouldn't matter, because we wouldn't be here to care about it anyway. We want you to come out of your shell and to be in relationship with us. We want you to be at your best and see past the haze of this selfish interactional thinking. Because at the end of the day, there is no happiness there. Those who are the best of us give to the rest of humankind freely. They give and they relate because they have found the joy and the value of being in true relationship with the rest of the world. And though we can tend to sleepwalk through our days in this self-centered dream of we, it is not reality. Reality is that we all hope to be in relationship. That being in relationship with anyone is important and matters. Think of the allure of Cheers. You remember that 80s show, Cheers? If you don't know that 80s show, Cheers, it just shows that I'm in my 40s. But the reason why everybody wanted to go to Cheers is because everybody knew your name. and they were always glad you came. You want to go where people know that people are all the same. You want to go where everyone knows your name. And think of the places that you go where they do appreciate where you show up again. It might be an ice cream shop. It might be the weekly diner you go to. There's some comfort knowing you're there. There's some relationship in that space. And it feels good. So let's move out of this interactional thinking and think more about this relational thinking. So for the podcast on interactional versus relational thinking, the three walkaways that will make you a better person are: number one, it is not mindful to the present or the present opportunity of the person you're with. It's sleepwalking and it's playing small. Two, it creates win-lose thinking. It creates interactional thinking, and it makes you live in a space where you are choosing to win less than you could. If you're doing relationships right, they have to be win-win, and they have to be for mutual gain. Three, it's selfish, and it's a great example of me is greater than we thinking. And that will leave you lonely and grasping. There's a term in Buddhism called a hungry ghost that's always looking for something but never finds it. Because even when it finds the thing that it's looking for, it still doesn't get the thing that it needs. So don't be the hungry ghost. The hungry ghost is in relation to no one. So with that, that's my time. I believe I'm out of the first original six podcasts, but I'm still not at a place where I have callers yet. So I'm still hoping to have callers. I need to call this voicemail myself to see exactly what happens when someone does call it. So if this made you think something, or if you have a question, or if you have a shocking critique of my interactional versus relational thinking, or you thought of something that I hadn't really considered, please give me a call at 860-576-9393. You can call me again at the Inclusive Activism Podcast at 860-576-9393. This space is a place for you to interact with me, to ask me questions, to hit me with scenarios, or ask me about how I might react to situations or scenarios in real time. And depending on how good your stuff is, I might just give it a first take response. And if it's really good, I might make it the topic of a future podcast. And lastly, as always, if this helped you, if you learned, if you grow from this, if you became a better person in some way, or this made you think of some way to create action, inclusive action in your own life, and you're interested in how you can get more of that in your life, be more of that thing, please email me at rowdy.duncan, rowdyduncan, at cox.net. There's no dot. It's just Rowdy Duncan, rowdyduncan, at cox.net. And to learn a little bit more about the organization, what we're doing, what's going on, you can get a hold of us at www.inclusiveactivism.com. That's www.inclusiveactivism.com. And all the podcasts are here. There you'll be finding the new YouTube series on there. And my last appeal, if you heard this, if you listened to it, if you stuck through this, we're getting close to the 30-minute mark at this point, please do me a favor and go to your to iTunes, go to SoundCloud, go to the Android apps, and rate this podcast. If you're going to rate it, I do ask that you try to do 4 and above, but I do need as many 4 and above ratings as possible to become visible. I'm hoping to be in interaction with many different people that are trying to find the opportunity of being better us so we can be better we's for all of the rest of us. And I really think I'm onto something here, but I need you all. I needed all of you talking to me. I need you to listen to some of this stuff because I don't hear a lot of people talking about this stuff in this way. And so the more visible you can make this, share it, recommend it to friends. I'm really hoping this becomes a thing because I know my message is important. And it's not my message, right? Because I'm taking ownership of it. This is the message. And this message, I need your help in getting out. I need your help in refining. I need your help in talking to me about it. Because this form of leadership is underutilized. And right now we are in a space where we definitely need the big we. We really, really do need that big we. And we need to work on sublimating that small me and stop pushing that me. Just like I tried to do right now, right? The message is about us and we and this form of leadership and a way of getting better. So please share the Inclusive Activism podcast with someone that you love, someone that you think that would like get some joy from this. And from that, this is Rowdy from the Inclusive Activism podcast. I really appreciate your time, and I'm excited that we had the opportunity to talk about interactional versus relational thinking. And I'm looking forward to hearing from you in the near future. And thank you for your time. Bye-bye. Thank you.